The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And I'd like to welcome Mr. Kishon. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I am great.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. One of the first questions that I had to ask Kishon when he walked into the studio is like, boy, how old are you? And he says, proudly,
I am 19 years of age.
So you just finished school?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to talk about how you became CEO of your company at 19. And let's start from there. Tell us a little bit about that company.
Okay, so I would have started Brilliant Achievers Academy in 2023, but it was under a different name. It was under Brilliant Minds Tutoring Educational Institute, and that came about when I would have exited secondary school, and I started giving lessons, but I started giving lessons at a reduced course, and we would have received so much support, and persons started to engage. And, you know, finances are at play and whatnot. I decided, let us go the legal way and get the company registered. So that is where Brilliant Achievers Academy Limited came about. And in 2024, I would have gotten the company registered. And from there, we have been working very hard to put things in place, put structures in place, so that the company can, one, be successful, while also trying to attain the goal of providing educational services, but at a reduced cost, so that it doesn't become a burden for someone in order to learn.
Right. So what subjects did you start with first? Was it the full list of subjects, or let me guess, mathematics?
No.
All right.
When I started giving lessons, I started teaching POV, social studies, and HSV. And from there, my friends wanted to come on because, you know, we were recent graduates from school, and you know how the employment thing is right now. So everybody looking for some way or some avenue to make an extra income. And so that is where the group of us would have started. And that is from there, I decided, let us get a company so that we can do the legal thing, because finances are at play and we need to, you know, ensure that everything is ethical.
Right. And I think too, with, because you're teaching people children.
Correct.
For want of a, you know, the Chile lingo thing, you know, to make sure that what you're teaching is accurate.
Correct.
So that when they go to do their exams, they don't have to come back and say, well, sir, there's a whole and nothing come
correct.
That you teach me.
Correct.
You know?
So we would have gotten the organization registered, we would have gotten it also, I would say approved, because with legal affairs, when registering an educational institute, there is a bit more criteria you have to go through compared to a normal company. So thankfully, we would have gotten all the necessary approvals and documents we needed to get to pursue this company. And now it's just for us to get started. Classes would have begun September, early, first week in September. And we are still taking on registration, we're still taking on individuals, new students. So once you're interested, classes are only at $50 per session, so that is $200 per month for all subjects. And currently we are only offering CSEC subjects.
Okay. Now, one of the questions that I asked this morning too is, what is the purpose of, you know, doing all of this work? You said CSEC is what your main focus, but CSEC is also used as the benchmark to enter university. Because I will be honest with you, last week we had a discussion talking about the education system, how it currently runs right now, violence in schools, etc. And it popped into the conversation that going to university is a scam. You know, that you could go up on YouTube and get these classes, and here you are as an individual teaching these subjects. And tell me how you feel about that statement, first of all. Is it a viable statement to make? Does it make sense, especially with the new types of jobs that young people would want to get into? What was your perspective on that?
I would say it's a 50-50. I agree and somewhat I disagree, because let us look at the perspective of it is a scam. I would agree, because in 2025, to get a job is extremely difficult. So you go into school, you study for 5-10 years, you know, you put out so much money because it's an investment by itself.
Of course.
You know, and then when you're finished, you're graduated, it's problems to get a actual decent paying job. You know, you're not asking for no fancy and no six figures and seven figures type of job, but you're asking something decent for all these your studies and whatnot. And it is extremely difficult and hard in the current economy.
Mm-hmm.
So persons will have that form of doubt in their mind. Why go through all that, you know? And I could just, as you rightfully said, go on YouTube, learn a skill, learn a trade, and I might make more money than years of schooling, and I may have to settle for an ordinary something, you know? So I agree at that point, but also you must have the tertiary education, because while yes, trades and skills are important to as an individual and as an economy, we must also have the academics, because if it is we don't go through tertiary education, how will we have teachers? How will we have doctors? These individuals that you cannot necessarily learn the type of job or the type of way how to complete or achieve that job through a trade school. You have to go and learn the theory, the science behind it, all these different things so that you could achieve your job. So while, yes, it is understandable that persons may feel that type of way, it is also necessary for certain essential services that the country do offer currently.
Now, in that respect, I like how we went into that direction one time. You know, because my next question to you, as a young person, how do you all view the job market? Do you think that there are roles that are redundant out of the time? Or he's laughing already. So, I mean, kind of answering the question by itself with that laugh. And the new jobs that are out there, because I get that from your business plan as well. You're the type that will go up on social media and say, hey, our classes start at so and so and so. This is what the classroom looks like. And, you know, interacting that way. Is it that the job market mode is outdated for what you all are learning right now?
I would say yes. I think in order for us to tackle or address the issues as pertains to unemployment, I think we should consider a holistic approach, because looking back at the education system, when I was going secondary school, and that was, you know, a few years ago, that was about 3 years ago, certain topics that you learn in school, it is really unnecessary, because, you know, I think as a country, I think we should move in the direction of we should directly address, okay, I want to become a doctor. Let that individual from that age learn the necessary, basic, and essential topics, syllabus, subjects that they need in order to pursue that career. Instead of I have to go and do a whole set of subjects, and then later down, I still have to come back and focus on one particular area. I think that is where the mistake begins, because one, you're basically stresses out the student. Because I can, when, you know, doing just 8 subjects, because I would have done 8 subjects, it is extremely difficult, because you have to juggle all of those subjects, you have to prepare for those subjects, and you have to also do SBAs. You have all other things at the side. So it becomes really difficult for the student to handle, right? And so if it is we should approach it as where we can maybe look at changing the education system in a way that it will benefit the students in the long run, because once we tackle that from the start, where students can begin doing their subjects from that younger age, I think that gives us a better chance of having more experienced persons knowing the job, well, knowing the theory, the job that they want to get into, the career that
But you know, somebody will say, "Ole, mind so fickle. One minute you all want to be an astronaut, and next minute you want to be a baker." So, you know,
that is true.
I guess that's why they have all of the general subjects, so that, you know, just in case it goes from astronaut to basketball player.
That is true, but I think they should also have it as an option, because it have those students that already make up their mind from a very young age. You know, so why not have them enrolled in it so that we can get them out there in the job market and have them, you know, we just follow so much things from these first world countries, you know, especially like China and Japan, where I see at a very young age, these children are learning so much compared to our children here in Trinidad and Tobago. And I think these are the type of things that we should follow, we should adapt, and we should try to include in our ways of doing things here in Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to think of a few more ideas on, you know, as a youth now coming out of the education system and then kind of looking back and I don't know if it's you feel sorry or hopeful for the students that remain. You know, some ideas that after doing the experience that, you know, they could latch on to change the way in which the young people are moving. We'll be right back. Going to take a short break. Welcome back, TNT, to Freedom 106.5 FM. And in studio with me, we have a gentleman fresh out of school. And we just wanted some perspectives from him as we talk about the different issues that affect young people today. Well, one, instantly, the job market coming out of, you know, being told that if you do not pass your exams, your life is over to, you know, okay, what do I do now? I've done all of this work and the job market is what it is. So I guess it's a bit of a wake-up call for us as well to really understand how young people really view the job market and if the preparation that they're getting, you know, is really substantive to receive the job that we're talking about. Now, there was another post by another young man who said that he's been through the system as well. He did his bachelor's, went on to his master's, and still waiting on a job.
I would have seen that.
Yeah, you saw that. I think it's Rahim was his name.
Yeah.
How you feel about that as a young person, 19 years old? You finished secondary school.
I haven't completed my associate degree this year. So
right.
I think that is something that should be of a concern for all young people because it could be any one of us, you know, going through the whole process, you know, reaching up to your master's is not easy work. It's not an easy journey. And so completing up to that step to then had a beg, you know, you're qualified. So you had to come now to beg to get a decent paying job. You know, you're not even settling for the job that you actually want, you know, and you just want a decent paying job, and it's you can't get it. So seeing a fellow youth like myself, it kind of demotivates you because especially students that are currently doing CSEC or CAPE, when you see something like that, that can demotivate that student to, but this ain't making no sense. This ain't making no sense, but might as well just go work taxi or find a faster paying job and, well, worse yet, crime. That gives you quick money or fast money.
The thing is, the individual said he was working he says menial. You know, it's like, in other words, it's beneath me. And sometimes, you know, persons would say, well, all trainees kind of haughty and feel they're too good for these quote-unquote menial jobs. But if I took the time to spend 6 years, 7 years, 10 years of my life to get to the master's degree, you know, I kind of have a right to feel that this job is really not what I want to spend my time on.
Correct.
And there's a difference between job and career.
Correct.
So how do young people see, I don't want to put myself in this category, yeah, but the older generation, how do you all see us in terms of, you know, the ways in which the world has evolved? We be on point or we still have some catching up to do?
Well, I think at the end of the day, everybody just do the best. So those that would have came before us, they would have set the foundation. They would have done that what they had to do. Not everybody's perfect, so there were mistakes. There are mistakes because currently we battle with so many issues. But again, it is just for us, for the aging population to pass on the mantle to the younger population. I think that is the issue there. And because it covers any public service, you know, where you have public servants that are close to retirement, maybe past retirement, because they're hiring them back on contract,
mm-hmm.
And they refuse to retire, and that kind of puts the country on a strain, because these young graduates can't get the job that they need or they want, because these older ones or these retirees or these the aging population refuses to pass on the mantle. And I think that there must be a balance,
mm-hmm.
and that is where the problem resides, because persons of that age, and it's understandable, because who want to, you know, especially doing a job for years, you may not want to, you know, just give up that job to go home and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's understandable. But again, the powers that be, so the government and those in authority, they must put some form of legislative work in place that they can also protect the younger ones, because it is becoming more and more difficult for young people like myself, mm-hmm. young persons like myself, to get a job in this current economy.
So let's go on to, you know, suggestions for violence in schools coming out of, just fresh out of the school system. Is it as bad as they make it out to be? And like at least three suggestions or two suggestions as to how you can conquer that.
Well, when I, because I attended Northeastern College, so just shouting out my alma mater one time.
Right.
You know, at Northeastern College, I had an excellent time at Northeastern College.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean it didn't had, you know, the ordinary, the usual fights and them kind of thing. But I think each school is unique in the way that they handle and they treat these type of matters.
Right.
Because at Northeastern, once there is a fight, once there is some form of unorderly behavior or something like that, there are persons in place to treat that. There are deans, there are the principals, etc. And I must say, at Northeastern, they would have handled it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not waiting for it to become something that you can't handle or for it to escalate.
Right.
So I think they kind of exaggerate the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they do try to exaggerate the situation so that they can maybe get some form of solution for the authorities who have the power to address the situation. So maybe that is why they just exaggerate the situation. But at Northeastern, as I said, there were the ordinary fights. There were the ordinary students that are the so-called troublemakers. But we have systems in place. We have our education system, or we have the security, because the protocol that they have now is that the security is the ones that have to intervene,
mm-hmm.
and not the teachers. So we have security officers, we have deans, we have vice principals, we have principals. But I think we need to maybe redefine these roles, because if it is the security officers are the only ones that can intervene in when circumstances like this, but what is the reason for a dean?
Well, the thing is, it seems to work at some schools and seems to not work at others, and then that structure doesn't exist in other schools at all.
Correct.
Right? So you being accustomed to that system, you can understand how it works, but apply it to another environment that may or may not understand that structure, you could see where the rebelliousness comes out.
Correct.
And then it changes into a fight that you, as you say, don't normally see. Because you say ordinary fights. And you realize that these fights these days,
some kind of terrible
is
ones.
Not, it baffles my mind and all. And I've seen interactions with rival schools, but even in those days, the rivalry wasn't as heated as it is now.
Correct. You know, and you know, I saw that recently the government would have taken action as to implementing police officers in the schools.
Yes.
And I must commend that, because
how you feel about that? If it is that you came to school one morning and saw police in Northeastern, you know for sure something's definitely wrong. Yeah.
But I think as some person saying it is not a way of addressing history. It is just temporary, yes. But I think we must commend the fact that they would have made a step to try to curb the violence, because as you rightfully say, if it is I walk in notice and I see a police officer, I will be a bit hesitant to jump out myself. So, you know, this is a type of measure that are placed in schools currently, and these schools that you said that may not have these type of structures in place, the police officers now, they can now try to assist the teachers, the security officers, whoever in these schools have the responsibility of these students to try to, I know definitely it won't stop the violence at all, mm-hmm. but it will try to reduce the violence. And I know it will, because these law enforcement officers have the responsibility and they have the all rights to arrest you. They have mm-hmm. the all rights to treat you accordingly to the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before it was the security officers, they lash your child, you know, the parent come in, I cuss up the parent, the security officer, you know, and children do look on and see, well, okay, mommy do this, or, well, I could get away, so
yeah,
me
yeah,
not
emboldened
me taking
action,
you on,
right.
So I could do what I want, but now they can't cuss up the police officer, and so I think it's a right step moving forward, and I think it's just for us to build on that. You know, definitely we can't just leave it as police officers being in school.
Mm-hmm.
We need to move forward, we need to do more. And again, it's a holistic approach to actually address the issue of school violence.
Do you think that, well, you're saying that it will have some sort of impact.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it can do the reverse as well? Because I know that some students are very afraid of that type of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how would you address it from that perspective?
Well, it definitely has a psychological impact on you, because I personally... I seen a police officer, I will be hesitant. I will think twice to do something wrong, you know, do something that you know for sure you will get in trouble for doing. And something like, let us talk about the school violence with fights and things. These issues, the students may be a bit more lenient before to actually fight and a teacher stand up Friday, because they know what coming, they know, okay, a 2-day suspension, whatnot.
Mm.
Now they have the understanding, and they have to understand it's no longer a 2-day suspension. Now you're open to being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And that's on your permanent record.
And that's on your permanent record. So
right.
There are consequences, even more consequences now. So I think it definitely will have an impact on your psyche. Students, those that are going to school, they may, those that are maybe following bad company, I think that it will have an impact on them for sure, because they're not necessarily in that type of mentality, but they are just following bad company. I think they will for sure have an impact, because they will think twice now than following their friends or, you know,
following bad company. Yeah. Let's take a call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Sorry about that. Call again. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. A message at 3061065 says, "Say good morning, Tusker. My daughter has a degree in mechanical engineering, and when applying for a job, the response is a man's world, and they want experience. How can that be? Please, Tusker, wave that magic wand." Girl, I don't know, but at least talking about it, probably we could advocate for you know, a little more attention where that is concerned.
Correct.
Hello, good morning.
Hey,
good morning. Fast track, good morning.
I said, Doc, and I had two sons that left high school. I was 1 year ago, I had 2 years ago. And well, one got a small job, but and the other one, he went into the air conditioning and field, not really by choice, he really wanted to do it, but look at that kind of practical way of moving forward in terms of kind of basing himself. And, but, you know, at the end of the day, we need to have a proper database in the country as to what skill sets are really needed. Because, I mean, I saw a little intro where the law fraternity in the university, that kind of intro, and let children know what law is like to be prepared for. Okay? And just heard about what law is. And I think I saw about 160-something students or something, so... And that is so real, eh? Because at the end of the day, you're going in there and you're just studying. Sometimes might like something, sometimes the family tree might have a little, some direction they may want you to follow. And then at the end of the day, how practical is that for you to really be outside there? But I mean, no matter, as one of the persons that were lecturing told them, they said no learning goes to waste, eh? With that being so, yes.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, most of the children that after coming out of there now actually need some form of income in some way. And as a matter of fact, I've heard people say that they have to hide that they have a degree in order for certain jobs that you just want somebody to do that.
Correct.
That's and another.
They have that degree. Mm. They get scared now. They feel like, oh, I have to pay you some big money, but you have to hide some of the documentation in order just to get something to do. So I think we need to do a little skill base of our whole, you know, all the different skills in our country and see what actually practically where we could, where we're moving forward and what's really actually stagnated right now, and it'll just be qualified if you just want to be qualified. Mm. So that database needs to be done and as early as possible, so we'll have a effective direction of how students can really move forward and what to really do. Maybe we could even start have a Caribbean integration, or if you know, we could connect with the Caribbean and the countries close.
But fast track, that's what the CSME is about. That's what that's what the CSME is supposed to be about. Thanks so much for your call.
All right, yeah, bye.
Yeah, take care. 625-2257-627-3223. I like the point that he brought up, though. You know, I think we have job fairs. Do young people know about job fairs? Do they go to them? Mm. I know that there is the college fair that happens ever so often where foreign
universities
come and, you know, they basically woo young Trinis to, hey, what? Come out to Trinidad, go to the States. We've got scholarships, we've got this, we've got that. How, after going into all of that, do you all see results from that? Have you heard of anyone utilizing, you know, the exposure that they get there to say, yes, I got a scholarship and I'm now in my dream job?
I think, yeah. In the foreign countries, that the job market is definitely way different to Trinidad. So once you join a university and you go across there and you study, most times these universities, after completing a degree, they have something like an internship,
mm-hmm.
where you have to complete the internship because you have to give back, mm-hmm. for your scholarship, for mm-hmm. learning in my country, you have to give back. So from there, you do this internship, and from that internship, you kind of get comfortable in the country, and you realize, okay, there's opportunities for me to improve, for me to develop, and you say, it'll make no sense go back to Trinidad. And I think that also could be, that is an issue for Trinidad right now where brain drain is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, as the guy would have rightfully said, a database, you know, that will help those in authority to see, okay, this is the direction that the country is going, because this morning I would have heard on the radio that the birth rate in Trinidad and Tobago is decreasing,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and she was mentioning that in the near future, we may have a labor shortage. So mm-hmm. I making a joke to my dad and saying, well, that mightn't be bad because right now we have our unemployment issue.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I might be able to get a job then.
Funny, but not funny.
Correct. So,
and I instantly thought, oh, all again, smart, true and expensive. Yes, we're learning. But the thing is, as much as we joke about it, we have to be able to continue in building what Trinidad and Tobago, what we would like to see of Trinidad and Tobago in the next 10, 15 years. And it is obvious that young people are a necessary part of that growth.
Sure.
So let's step into how y'all see the future, because y'all are the ones who are on top with AI and, you know, being entrepreneurs and utilizing social media in a way that brings in income. Y'all use it to the point now that many platforms are monetizing,
yeah.
you know, to have that income coming in. Are y'all thinking more of building businesses rather than getting into the traditional jobs? I mean, not like you could really get into the traditional jobs to begin with, but what is your view on entrepreneurship as a young person?
I think definitely, yes. A lot of young people is more going into entrepreneurship than, you know, than the traditional 9-to-5 or, you know, 8-to-4, whatnot, jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, unemployment is an issue, but also is the trend and the era that we are in. You know, my generation is a type of follow fashion type of generation. So they realize this is the trend. Okay, we most persons getting into entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
I will get in entrepreneurship too, and you'll see that with these trends that are happening on social media and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is not a bad thing because that will lessen the amount of persons that are applying for these traditional jobs. Mm-hmm. So once you have more businesses and you have more business leaders more owners, more self-sufficient individuals, I think that can benefit. And that would, I personally, I see that as a better way in moving forward in the future than, you know, just simply settling for a 9-to-5 job. You know, and I remember OJT, you know, these programs are existing. So I think it's just for us to amplify these programs to ensure that they are addressing the issue at hand. You know, I would have filled out the form, I'll be honest. I filled out the form and I never get to apply. And that is because when I filled out the form and whatnot, you know, you then start to hear the negatives. Oh, God, look how long I applied to that, and it ain't get called yet, right. And all kind of things. Who know who, and all kind of stupid talk. So I didn't bother to apply. But at the end of the day, I know persons who applied, and they got through. So it's just for us now, and again, it's for those in authority to amplify these programs that could really assist young people, because young people are the future. There's no doubt in that. And it's how you treat the future now. Well, we will know the consequences and impact of that when that time comes. You know, so there's a lot of ways, as you know, you can look at skills training, you can look at work experience, because work experiences are a big thing now. You know, you want to apply to KFC, yeah, that work two, three years work experience. But I don't know what kind of experiences they have.
But the thing is, from the time that you leave school, were you supposed to be working while going to school to gain that experience? He strips. But no, but that is how it is.
That is why.
That's what they're asking.
I just wonder, because at Brilliant Achievers Academy Limited, we basically put our structures in place that we will, because I'm a young person, I am not going to bypass all the issues that I'm seeing and become like the ordinary and the average business person. I have employed over 20 something employees. That's including teachers. Now the teachers are
I wanted to ask you about that, you know. I will get it. Stick a pin. I'm going to ask
about
it.
No problem.
Go ahead.
The teachers are the only individuals that you will say are more on the more experienced aging category, because we want individuals that are experienced. We want individuals that are qualified in order to prepare the students to be successful at the exams. But our administrative staff, our marketing staff, finance, all of these individuals are young people, and I don't mind. It is difficult to train them, to get them to understand the work environment, what is expected, what is not expected,
etiquette,
and what
right.
etiquette, work ethics, all of these things. But again, it is the sacrifice that we have to make now in order for us to benefit as a country moving forward. You know, so we have a lot of young individuals employed in these different departments, and we have decided that the teaching staff will only be exempted because we want qualified and experienced individuals in that category.
Let's take this call quickly. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, me again. I'll take it over. You know, what is the guest name?
This is Keshawn.
Hey, Mr. Keshawn, you know, do we have a database as to how many companies that are available for the on-the-job training, whether it's the insurance industry or whatever? So in order to, you will know, well, if I have 1,000 people or 500 people, let's say Africa, 500 people apply for on-the-job, and when you have 200 available companies that participate in on-the-job, because in that participation, I think the company pays some, something like that, but whatever, you may know the details. So all these data we really need to really streamline and have that available, because as you said, Ms. Tuska, you said there's somebody that does entity that's in charge of that. But basically, you know, this data that actually hands off, so I will know what's happening. At the end of 6 months, I'll be guaranteed that I'll be able to get on the job, because the 20 people that were there will be out. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, that kind of hands-on thing alive.
Actually preparing and helping a smooth transition from one stage to the next.
Right, on the button. So I sure I had to wait 5 years to get on the job training, so I get in and whatever entity the training be. Have a blessed one, bye.
Thanks so much, Fast Track. No, it's a good point. Rolodex, if you will. Yes, Rolodex is an old people's saying, but you understand perfectly what I meant, right?
Correct.
So on that, let me get to the question I wanted to ask you, as you were mentioning who you were hiring. What is it like going through that experience where you have to a young person hiring an older person, you know, because it's almost a switch. Because most times it will be the elder person hiring the young people and say, well, true, you have no experience. How was that like for you?
So when I had experience hiring the executive positions, because that was the start. Mm-hmm. That is when I would have gotten the company registered. I had to get these individuals in for the company to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I, along with my dedicated chief operations officer, Narion, mm-hmm, we would have been responsible for hiring these individuals. And it was, you know, we would have received that type of commentary. But how are you so young? And let me hear about the company again. And because they automatically get doubt that, mm-hmm, okay, this can't be real. This is now a legitimate thing, because you're seeing a younger person, you know, mm-hmm, at a position that has the opportunity or has the privilege to hire individuals. Now, currently I have an HR officer.
Mm-hmm.
She's well experienced and whatnot. She could be in her probably early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she is responsible for hiring and recruitment now.
Yeah.
And that is as pertains to teachers and whatnot. So I think it was an issue back then, because I started to think about, okay, maybe let Anarion do it, because I don't want to turn off these individuals and turn off the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now seeing the reports that I would have received from HR, you know, it's not an issue again, because she's somewhat middle-aged.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was an issue, but it's not an issue again.
And the thing is that because it is such a huge switch,
mm-hmm,
you know, the resistance that elders seem to have from time to time looking at a new business format or a new business idea, because who would have thought that if it is that you're logged on to a platform like YouTube or TikTok, just by the number of views that you're getting, you could get money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that concept is not... How are you doing that again? Nah, there's a scam. There's, you know,
correct.
The resistance you would find.
That is true.
Understanding how the world sees technology and the new types of businesses that are out there is very essential in how the older version and the newer version mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we're doing a good job of it so far? Does Trinidad and Tobago need to catch up as compared to other places? What do you think?
We have some catching up to do, because I can give you an example personally. With my mom,
mm-hmm,
oh Lord, I had to go through some good convincing to convince her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain, because they are not accustomed to that, and it's not the traditional way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially, and I think it goes back to history also. My family, or let me say Trinis in general.
Mm.
As a young person like myself, if they say, approach your parent and say, okay, ma, I want to open a company.
Mm.
You know, you might have some kind of resistance from your parent. They might tell, what you focusing on that for? Study to go and, you know,
learn your book
and them kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would have received a lot of that. But again, convincing. I am in politics, so I know how to talk. So I just get it good.
Let's take a note in politics. We will touch on that before we close, but do continue. Mm-hmm.
I know how to word my words,
mm-hmm,
to get my way, but, you know, positively and not
right,
the legal way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I would tell and I would encourage young persons, I'll give them this advice, is that if it is a no, you have your mind set on this,
mm-hmm,
and you know you're thought of all the factors that you need to take into consideration as pertains to the long-term success of your venture, your business, I would say go head on. You know, mm-hmm, you may not have that support immediately, but as time goes by, you know, your mouth is a very powerful thing. So keep convincing those that you need that support from, and mm-hmm, you'll eventually get it. You know, I would say... I would laugh, because, you know, it is really is a sad thing, but that is just the reality of the world and Trinidad and Tobago right now, because the world is so technological right now.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad and Tobago is way behind as pertains to technology. You know, I realize we now have an artificial intelligence ministry and whatnot, and I really hope that ministry can actually address the issues of introducing technology in schools so that we can have the young persons get familiarized and understand and get into careers as pertains to technology, because technology is a very lucrative and money-making industry compared to the traditional industries that we have in TNT.
Now, some people may not know, but there are a lot of young people who are creating apps and selling those apps for millions, almost billions, and say, "Here, what, I can retire at 25.
Correct.
And you watch them like, "What? How?" We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Karim about politics. I like how you're sneaking that one day, but we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, Trinidad and Tobago. If you're just logging on to the Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM, you missed a very, very interesting first hour. We've got about 6 more minutes to go on, and he has decided, or he has graciously said, that he will stay for another 15 minutes, you know, after 10 o'clock, because I wanted to ask him this question. Why are you getting into politics, boy? What about politics has attracted a young person, young sane person? Why? Tell me about it.
All right. I went attending secondary school. My mom introduced me to potential careers, and she wanted me to get into the judiciary. Become a magistrate, whatnot. The type of person I am, I will go and look up and research and whatnot. So I then began to get a fund of the career. That is law. So, but then realizing that, okay, to become a magistrate, you have to go through years of studying one. You have to have years of experience as an attorney too. And then you can, you'll then be considered to be appointed as a magistrate. So I was like, "Kishon, you really want to go?" "Yes, yes, I'm about 40-something, you know, becoming a magistrate." I really don't want to become a lawyer. I want to become a magistrate. So I was like, "Yeah, what? Rethink this." You know, now I've always had a business head. So I do live in on agricultural land, right? So I grew up on farming and them kind of things. So at a very young age, I would have started mining pigs and poultry and them kind of thing, and selling and whatnot. So it's in me. So I it was easy for me to get into the business aspect. But politics, after looking at the law and looking at alternatives, I saw politics. And I said, one day I really want to work towards becoming the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago. And, you know, I say, I will try my best to achieve that goal at the youngest, because our current prime minister is currently, you know, is the is from 60 onwards, you know. So I'm really working towards that. But my reason to enter in politics is because persons have this type of image of politics, of the negative side of politics. And there is the positive and there is the good side of politics, because politics, it's simple, you know. It's a way of life. It is our way of life. Politics is in everything. You know, and persons need to understand that it's not just government and elections. Politics is in everything. Politics is in your transportation, is by your going in grocery. All of that is politics. Politics influences all of that. So I think persons need to educate themselves and get aware of the real impact of politics and good politics. You know, young persons has a really influential impact on politics. And I think we can look at that maybe for the last general election, where most political parties were directly focusing on the youth. You know, and, you know, I really saw an avenue where I can implement changes that can actually benefit not just the young persons, but the people of Trinidad and Tobago. And that is why I joined politics, because politics gives you the vehicle to actually implement some of those changes.
Now, in terms of the youth perspective, how strong is it in today's politics? Do you all need a bigger voice? Are your issues being addressed? And seeing as you are entering in, or you've been in politics for a while now, what are some of the important things you would advocate for, especially as it pertains to youth?
Now, your first question as pertains to if it is we need a bigger voice, definitely. I think we are getting there, but we need to get there a bit faster. Because while we are seeing there, you know, younger faces in government, younger faces in roles that have critical decision-making capabilities in the country, I think what young persons really need more and what they are asking for is, and we're going back to unemployment, they want that chance, that opportunity to get into that particular career, that particular environment that they really want. You know, some youths, they don't really, well, majority of youths don't have time in politics. You know, they really just want that say, okay, if it is I go and vote in this election, I want to ensure that I could be able to afford for myself or my family, I could be able to get a job. And that is basically all that young persons are asking for. You know, so when I would have campaigned for the recent general election, the cry for the young people, of young people in Trinidad and Tobago, and specifically in Lakota Talparu, is unemployment, you know, social issues, education. And I know these are issues that we can address, because simple things, we are not asking for, you know, no big set of investment that can bankrupt the country, but certain initiatives that we can put in place. And if it is you need assistance in coming up with some of these ideas, the young persons are available to give you some of these ideas. We are on board to assist you, you know, and that is basically what they are asking. Let us come on board. Let us be at the table so that we can help in rebuilding our country or developing our country further, you know. So unemployment is the main issue.
Main issue,
unemployment. I think that seriously needs to be addressed in order for us to move forward.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation and your calls, because I see that you're willing to ask Mr. Kareem.
Keyshawn.
Where did that name come from? Anyway, Keyshawn, some questions, because we now start to, you know, bubble with the politics. We'll be right back. Got Mr. Keyshawn with us this morning, and we're having a nice discussion on perspective from youth, because just last week we saw, you know, this deplorable, I don't know what to say again, with their behavior and trying to understand what they're really thinking. Yeah, what these people thinking, these young people. I'm trying to get a translator for us. So Keyshawn is that today. And we touched on a couple of things in terms of, you know, how education is seen by young people. Some people are saying it makes no sense. Some people are saying, you know, I might as well get the paperwork, because that is what is still necessary in this working world to at least get your foot in the door. But when we get the foot in the door, we're waiting for the next one to follow. Because we're waiting forever for that call. And this is what the young people are saying, you know, and it's always a question of experience. You don't have the experience, you don't have the experience.
Yeah.
Fast Track, one of the callers, calling and say, well, we need to build a database so that businesses can rely on others to network, so you could get that mentorship going, that internship going, so that the experience can be found.
Correct.
Before they enter into the job market.
Correct.
So, you know, and, well, Keyshawn talked about getting into politics, and just off the air, I was saying, you know, it's difficult for young and old to really pay attention to politics, because when it's an election bell ringing, we see people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that bell stop ringing, we don't see them, you know, and it's a bit it's emotional. And people are like, you know what, I ain't even buttering.
It come like they betray you.
Yeah,
and I understand that, you know, but
so this is why I was like, why you guys, and it's a fresh young face like you, why get into this, you know, this mix up of
toxic
personalities
environment
with all them red flags.
Oh God.
No pun intended. Hey, don't come for me, eh? You know, already. Oh, don't come for me. Right. But you know exactly what I'm talking about, where it seems that more talk than action happens with today's politics.
I think, and that's totally understandable, and it is reality. Mm. You know, because we see it with all governments. But I want persons to understand, I want the citizens of Trinidad to be able to understand, because I realize that the voter turnout is extremely low, mm-hmm. you know, compared to the citizenship of Trinidad and Tobago. And I want persons to understand politics is very simple, you know. You're voting a government to achieve something, to do something. They didn't do it, vote them out. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. It have no, okay, my mother was affiliated to this party for years. Okay, I in that party. No, because that puts you in a position where, okay, if that party doesn't give you or doesn't look out for your interests, you then feel like, okay, I betrayed. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was wronged and them kind of thing. But that is not politics, you know. So we want persons to move out of that loyalty, tribal politics, and we want persons to actually understand the real impact of politics. You're voting our government, you exercise the electoral right, voting our government, you didn't do what they're supposed to do, vote them out.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, Tusker, and to your guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know your guest's name, but I listened to him, and I want to say to you, Tusker, do not discourage the young man.
Tusker. I am giving him some motherly advice.
Tusker, we need young, educated, and persons like this really in politics. You can hear the zeal, you can hear the passion for politics. And listening to him, I think he has a grasp, the understanding of politics, right? And it's simple, as he says, a definition for politics, you know. Politics is simply an activity that is aimed at improving the standard of living or quality of life for the citizens of the country.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right? So when we talk about the tribal type of politics and things, that is what we are used to.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't understand the real impact of politics to a country when mm-hmm. we understand that if a government is voted into office, they are voted into office on the premise that you have given certain promises, your manifesto, everything that you have laid out, you were able to buy in, the public, the citizenry were able to buy into you, to your plans. And thing, and you come into office, you do not fulfill the agenda, we vote you out, we put somebody else. It's simple.
Yeah.
And this is what the young man is saying, mm-hmm. right? So we need to be politically mature in this country. And if we get more persons like this young man into politics, and persons really got that come into politics because they have a love for serving people and not serving self, then we can see a change in this country, could see an impact of politics in a positive way in our country.
Mm.
And young man, I don't know you personally, but I'm listening to you. And just like me, I get into politics primarily because of that same reason, mm-hmm. the negative connotation that is attached to politics. I entered into politics to change that.
Correct.
And I'm glad to hear you saying that you are going into politics to change that. And the more people we get like us, I think we will have a better
chance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In this country. Continue the good work you're doing and do not let Tusker.
Thanks
you
so
much
for your call.
Yes,
take care. No, I'm not deterring you, but
no,
I understand. Because it takes, you had to have thick skin,
mm-hmm.
you had to have a good sense of self. As the caller said, what you're coming to serve. You know, okay. Where is your area of service and be, you know, grounded and founded in that? So, you know, I'm just teasing you, you know, because I've seen, you know, lovely black hair turn to gray.
Oh, God.
You know, but in terms of, you know, bringing forward the youth voice, mm-hmm. it is more than ever something that I've been seeing for quite some time, that because we tend not to look at the trends, as you say, and how they're changing.
Mm-hmm.
Some trends just like, nah, you're wasting time.
Yeah.
And then others be like, you know, it is necessary to at least investigate them, because we are moving slower than everybody else around the world. In
yeah.
terms of technology, in terms of ease of doing business, as a businessman, you could understand that
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And seeing as the lifeblood of TNT these days seem to be entrepreneurship, stepping out on your own and you know, taking that risk to take the money that you have saved and build a business.
Yeah.
I really think that we need to look at how we do business these days.
Correct.
You know, and going back to the lessons, one of the things that I recognize moving from primary into secondary school with my daughter and my nieces is that this lessons thing, it's a money-making industry.
Correct.
Huge. I was very concerned because how many years now Brianna's left secondary school? She is almost on her last year for university. So that's three, 4 years, right?
What? Okay.
Yes, I'm a young mom, right? The thing is, the cost of lessons back then, I don't know what it is now, but let me tell you something. Parents had to go above and beyond, and even beyond that, to get that, you know, collateral to make sure that they were at least ready for exams.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the students who don't have that luxury, and not only that, there have been complaints from, you know, parents and so on, stating that to them it seems that the syllabus is not taught in the space of time that is allotted when these children go to school, that the teacher is supposed to be doing. And that's why they say, well, all right, you'll get it in lessons when you come. What is your perspective on that? Is it, I mean, I think it's not fair, but I don't know what you think on it. And how do we, how as parents, do we counteract that?
Well, when I attended secondary school, you're right. The teacher cannot get everything done in the classroom. The syllabus cannot be completed in the classroom. And that is no fault of the teacher. That is just because of the amount of time that you have during academic term. You know, taking into consideration holidays and all of these things. But again, it's a holistic approach. So while you have the teacher doing his or her job, the parent and the student also has his or her role to play. You know, so the parent needs to ensure that the child, as you rightfully said, if it is they're not getting all the work done in school, to provide them with another avenue, another space for them to learn what they are not learning at school. You know, and the student has his or her role to play to ensure that, okay, because when... For most times, yes, in forms 4 and 5, they just give you the syllabus. You as a student, it's supposed to be responsible enough to look at this syllabus and see how best you can teach yourself certain topics. Most of the topics are teachable. You know, you can self-taught. You can learn these topics on your own. The teacher is just there to reinforce and to guide you, right? Now, I am saying that because I'm outside of school. When I was going to school, I didn't want to hear that because that extra work, especially homework and assignments and them kind of thing.
I was not going to ask which student you know going to pick up a syllabus and read it and say, okay, I'm going to teach myself this.
To go and then teach yourself certain topics. It is hard. It is difficult. You know, it is tiring. You know, so I think while we may want to say and recommend as like what I just did, it is realistic for some students, while other students it is not realistic, because as you rightfully said, some students cannot afford the lessons. Some students may not have an environment to, when they go back from school, go back at home, they may not have an environment to learn or to teach themselves, you know. So all of these things we have to take into consideration, and that is why at Brilliant Achievers Academy Limited, we would have implemented as such a structure that we can offer these academic classes at such a reduced cost so that we can actually reach these individuals who cannot afford these classes. You know, we have been reaching out to village councils, stakeholders in the community, so that we can directly interact and engage with these individuals who really can't afford. You know, that is our main goal and priority. Yes, we are a company. Yes, we want to make a profit. But as I am a person that is people before self, you know, and I won't put the company in a way, in a direction that we'll be getting a loss. But we must remain steadfast on the main goal and objective of the company is to reach these individuals who really can't afford these traditional academic classes.
Mm-hmm. I got a voice note coming in here. Good morning.
You know, I love to hear children speak like that, so forthrightly and stuff like that. But in the end, at the end of the day, when they grow up, they become silent as a mouse. They do nothing to really improve this country. I'll tell you something. That little kid said that we should have more businesses and people should be more entrepreneurs. Well, I'll tell you something. Once they move up to that level of becoming a business owner and they start making money and they start getting contracts and hopefully government contracts, you think they will give a crap about you who working down at the bottom of the barrel, who fixing a road with no correct boots on, who jumping in a pipe to fit an oil rig and you don't have the right equipment and there's no safety standards? That is what they become. And that's why we have bad roads, corruption in government, schools falling apart. Now we got to have police officers in the schools. You know, when these kids write books at 4 years old and these kids win 10 subjects and they go abroad and they become these great writers and leaders, what did they do for us?
Well, I guess they're still waiting for the opportunity to come back home and do for us. Hmm. I mean, cynicism high. And tainted in that. But, I mean, I don't know how to put it, huh? I know her heart's supposed to, you know, show how, you know, young people... Okay, so what I'm getting from her is that a young person like you with all the energy and zeal and so on, after you reach a certain age and a level of success is like to hell with everything else.
Correct.
You know, I just use this as the vehicle mm-hmm. to get to this point. Mm-hmm. And there are persons like that. I mean, I find it unfair that you'd want to predict that this is what this young gentleman is going to be doing, you know, when he reaches those pinnacles of success. I mean, take it because it is a blessing mm-hmm. and she's seeing it in your future, right?
I accept
you,
it.
You receive it?
I receive
right?
it.
But at the same time, I think that the part of on the elders or the older generation to you know taint everything with that kind of cynicism is why a lot of people
yeah.
young people decide mm-hmm. you know what, I'm not even gonna do it for this country, I'm gonna do it for somebody else.
Correct
You know,
we need that support. We you know, the elders, the aging population has a very crucial role to play, a critical role to play in the development of this country, and especially with young persons, we need you all to support us in what we do. You know, because if it is I didn't receive the support eventually, you know, I wouldn't have, I wouldn't even bother to move forward with this company because it is a lot of work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. When I heard you mention how we are so backward as pertains to technology and to setting up a company and whatnot. When I was registering this company with Legal Affairs, oh my God, the amount of things we had to... Oh, good. It was problems.
Mm.
But that alone says that you need to have that support, that push, that motivation for when it is you're finished, you're stressed out, you really don't know how to move forward, you have that person, you have that family there to encourage you to keep pushing. Mm. You know, you have your goal that you're working towards. You know, so while, yes, she's entirely right in what she said, because that is the mentality of most young persons. They have the zeal now, they want to do so much things now, and when it is they reach any capacity and the role to actually implement the change, they really don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think again, the world is changing, and once we more and more persons like myself come out and encourage other fellow young persons to get on board with this type of mindset and this type of mentality, it's just for the older ones, the aging population, to come on board with us, support us, advise us, and that is basically what we're asking for.
Mm-hmm. That support to actually move from one point to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does affect your whole outlook, if it is you really want to make the effort or not.
Correct.
All right?
Correct.
Going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take some final calls and messages at 3061065. Any other comments that you have for Kishon? Any, you know, good luck words? We'll take it right after this. And we are wrapping up our conversation with Mr. Keshawn Woodley, CEO of Brilliant Achievers Academy. If you missed out on it, you missed out on a pretty good interview or discussion on, where young people see us as a country in terms of our development, how we are handling them, if it is we drop any ball, as they say, or, if we're close. But it seems that we not so close as we thought, and we have a lot of things to improve on. Yeah.
My time here with you, Miss Tuska, has been an awesome time because, we didn't just touch on one topic. We touch on all the topics that are, instrumental and, touching or impactful to us, and it is impactful also to the country, but what I really want to say is that we really want the persons that have the authority, that have the power to really take us seriously, consider us. I know right now the country is having a issue with diversification.
Mm-hmm.
Young people have such a important role to play in that. Why I told you, technology is a very lucrative type of business industry, and also entrepreneurship, manufacturing. Young people have a very important role and critical role to play in diversifying the economy. But it's just for those that have the power to reach out to us, include us in the discussions, include us in the conversations, have us on board, so that we can also have a say in the decision making of the country. As I said, unemployment will always be the issue of the young people right now in 2025 currently.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want those young persons that are maybe new graduates, and they are looking on for employment, they may be demotivated or whatnot. Just keep pushing. That is all I can tell you, because I would have applied to 1,000,001 companies.
Mm-hmm.
You may get a response from some, you may not get a response from others. And yes, it may be tedious and demotivating at times, but at the end of the day, the only person that can look out for you is you. So keep applying. One day you'll get that response that you really was expecting a few months ago, and that may be your moment of your life may change there. Mm-hmm. So I really just want to advise you to keep pushing. I really don't want that person to become dependent or reliant on, okay, the fact that this not going my way, I just give up and I just quit, because that is why we have a issue with crime, because I know majority of the young persons involved in crime, involving gang violence, is because they wouldn't have received, one, the support from home, the support that they need from other individuals, relatives, the country, the society, and two, they may have had certain goals and objectives, but it's so difficult to attain them, they just give up and they went the easy way out.
Yeah.
So I really just I want to advise you not to go that route, because we need to show the ones in authority, show the government that we are serious, we are about business, we are about rebuilding our country. We want to be a part of the change. So let us show them that, okay, they want to implement police in schools, show them that, okay, we'll stop fighting on the whole, show them that we understand, we are mature enough.
That you can think for yourselves,
correct,
as well. Yeah.
So let us begin thinking in that type of mentality and that type of mindset, and it will only benefit you, yourself, and the society.
Thank you so much, Keshawn, for taking the time today. Like I said, a pretty interesting interview. We got different perspective today, and I applaud you for your efforts and wish you continued success and receive all of that
Thank you so very much. That
positivity that they have for you out there.
All right, I would just want to leave our business number with you all to contact the school. You can contact us at 319-4341, or you can email email us at brilliantachieverssecretariat@gmail.com. So registration is currently ongoing, so please get your students, get your children on board, enrolled in the classes so that they can be adequately prepared for the upcoming CSEC examinations come January and May, June of next year.
And for those adults as well, or more experienced, the seasoned amongst us who would, you know, like to get involved as well, can call him and, you know, find that partnership, that common ground to move forward on. All right. Enjoy. And we'll
Thank
be right
you
back.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Scar.
All right. Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.